Welcome to Young Adult at Heart, Great YA Reads for All Ages, part of the Camden County Library family of podcasts. I'm Kristen, and with me today is
Emily.
Emily is our guest host today, and I'm going to make her say a little bit about herself.
Hi, thank you, Kristen. Yes, my name is Emily. I am head of the Youth Services Department at our Voorhees branch. And in another life, I was a teen librarian. And at one point, I feel like in 2009, I knew like every single YA book. And I read like half of every single YA book. And I still try to read a couple a year, but I'm definitely not as...
It's hard.
There's so much good stuff.
There is.
There's just a lot.
I feel like, so I haven't been a teen librarian now for 2 years, and I used to know everything, and now I can't keep track of anything. And to jump ahead, like for next month's podcast, I had to go online and like look like what's new and interesting, because I no longer really know what's new or interesting. So
when I have, I think it's easier with a teen comes in to ask, but when a parent comes in and our teen librarian, Danielle, is not here, I'm like, all right, I'll help. And then I panic and I'm like, whoa, the book's from 2010. Like, I know those.
Read Graceland.
Yeah.
Read Hunger Games.
It's like, oh no, let me look online.
It changes so fast. Yeah. But today we're presenting a new book. It's Geekorella by Ashley Poston. And Emily chose this book. Thank you.
Yeah, it was so fun.
It was just a light... pumpkin flavored vegan treat.
Absolutely.
It was lovely. I'm going to give a summary of the book, and because I don't like to write out summaries, I'm going to read the jacket cover, and it's a front and back jacket cover, so you're going to hear my pages flip, and I'm really sorry. And I don't think this summary is going to make any sense because there's so many references like to like the actual like meat of the book, but that's okay. That's okay. Here we go. When geek girl Elle Whittemer sees a cosplay contest sponsored by the producers of Starfield, she has to enter. First prize is an invitation to the ExcelsiCon cosplay ball and a meet and greet with the actor slated to play Federation Prince Carmendor in the reboot. Elle's been scraping together tips from her gig at the Magic Pumpkin food truck behind her stepmother's back, and winning this contest could be her ticket out once and for all, not to mention a fangirl's dream come true. Teen actor Darian Freeman is less than thrilled about this year's ExcelsiCon. He used to live for conventions, but now there's nothing but jaw-aching photo sessions and awkward meet and greets. Flip. Playing Federation Prince Carmendor is all he's ever wanted, but the diehard Starfield fandom has already dismissed him as just another heartthrob. As ExcelsiCon draws near, closet nerd Darian feels more and more like a fake, until he meets a girl who shows him otherwise. Part romance, part love letter to nerd culture, and all totally adorbs, Geekorella is a fairy tale for anyone who believes in the magic of fandom.
Yay.
It was so precious.
Yeah. And there was a lot to it. Like, it makes sense that they had to split the summary onto the both sides of the book, because there's just a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. Can I confess that I haven't read a book in over a month?
Wow.
Yeah. So I
yes, didn't. You can confess.
Yeah. I'm confessing. I didn't read a book at all in September, and we were supposed to do this podcast in September, and we couldn't get our schedule straight, and it didn't happen. And I was like, I really need to pick this up and read it. And I knew we were podcasting. Today's Wednesday, and I was off Monday, and it was like 2. And I'm like, I guess I should start this. And I was done by like 11 p.m.
Yay.
So
that's fun.
It is a nice, easy read, especially if you like all that geek culture.
Yeah. So I'll just say I read this back in August.
Okay.
So I tried my best to refresh. So if I like, I may not get the names right.
That's
away,
fine. But that's absolutely
Kristen
fine.
Can fill in.
So yeah. Sorry.
I was gonna say. So yeah, it's such a big giant hug to geek culture. Starfield is kind of part Star Wars, part Star Trek.
Yeah.
Part maybe even what's the one with Nathan
Fillion? Oh, yeah. Firefly.
Firefly. Yeah. Like just kind of. All of it.
And there's totally a Nathan Fillion reference when Darian's at the con later on in the book. He's like, I totally see a guy in a brown jacket. And that's that was Nathan Fillion in Firefly. It's like, oh. Yeah, it was the fandom. I'll talk about the fandom later, but it was everything. Like, everything was in this book, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
So main characters. There are two. There's Danielle, but she goes by Elle, which makes sense since if you couldn't tell by the name Geekorella, it is a retelling of Cinderella.
Which, my confession time, I totally forgot when I was reading it. And during the parts with her her stepmom and stepsisters, I was like, oh my goodness, they are the meanest people. I know in YA, we a lot of times have like, you know, really mean like family members. And I was like, oh, right. Geekerella, Cinderella.
Yeah. You know what's funny too? It didn't even occur to me. Like Darian's playing a prince. Ha!
And Prince Charming, right? And Prince Charmander. Isn't
yeah,
kind
it's
of,
kind of the
of,
same.
Yeah.
So this book was split between Elle and Darian, and they got alternating chapters, which I really love.
Yeah.
And I thought it was done really well. And they were like consecutive. So like Elle was waiting for Good Morning America because she wanted to see who was cast
yes.
in the reboot of, I totally forgot the name of the show, Starfield. Yeah.
It's like so the biggest news of her life, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And as she's waiting to see who's cast, like the next chapter is Darian talking about, you know, being behind the set and having his abs airbrushed while he's talking to his handler, Gale. So it kept going back and forth. So you got to, almost like in real time, you got to see what was happening. And I thought Ashley Poston did a lovely job with that.
Mm.
But like I'm a romance novel reader, and I like having both characters.
Yeah.
It just makes me happier. Because I want to know what everybody's thinking. So Elle, her mom died when she was 4, which actually that's one of the things I didn't like about the book. Like she didn't really remember her mom. And like my son's 5, and
oh,
I'm like,
no.
I want to be remembered forever.
So sad.
but she had excellent fond memories of her dad, and her dad was a major Starfield fan, so much so that he created this Excelsicon convention, and she used to write fan fiction for her dad, and she has a blog, Rebel Gunner, and this is pretty much her life. She has a part-time job working at the Magic Pumpkin, which is a
vegan
food truck with pumpkin chimichangas
and an awesome person named Sage who does she own the truck or
her mom does
okay
yeah Sage was probably one of my favorite characters but we'll talk
she
about
was like a fairy godmother
she
like
was
every,
she was the
she
fairy godmother
in every way
with her green hair her sage colored hair and then the when Elle's not working she's at home and her stepmom runs like a wedding business.
Yeah.
She's like a wedding planner,
yeah.
But she is trying to make herself look a certain way, and like the family's really poor because she's trying to
move up. Yeah,
but yeah, like she has to drive a Miata, her double shot dirty chai latte, no whip.
I was like, oh, is that exactly?
Yeah, that sounds really good, actually. And of course, the stepmom is Catherine, and she's got 2 daughters, Chloe and Calliope.
Calliope.
Darn it, Calliope.
We looked it up.
We did look it up. And I made it phonetic, and I still messed it up. We'll call her Cal.
Cal.
And it is stereotypical Cinderella. They just...
They're turds. They're like giant turds.
They just tell her what to do, and they boss her around. And
they take her stuff. They take, like... So Elle has... From her father and mom, she has these cosplay costumes that are, like, incredible of Princess Amara. And oh my gosh, what is
Prince
Carmendor? And I forget, is it right away? Did they take both of them or just Prince Carmendor?
She already had, Elle had Prince Carmendor's hiding.
Okay.
So they took the mom's costume when they were cleaning closet or the attic. And what I thought was interesting too, and I didn't entirely understand, is they live in Savannah and the house they live in Elle's name, but she's not 18. So the stepmom has control of it and she's like always threatening to sell it, but how can you sell it if it's not really yours? And spoiler alert, Elle does turn 18 at the end of the book, but she leaves, and I would think at that point you're a legal adult, so why can't why can't you take your house back? So I mean in the grand scheme of things, does it really matter? Probably not, but that actually kind of bothered me. I'm like, how can you threaten to take someone's house away? Like, if you're just holding it onto it.
Just a slight plot detail that
annoyed me.
Yeah.
Mostly because I was just annoyed for Elle. I'm like, get your house. Get a lawyer. Yeah. Get your house. I definitely thought she was more interesting than Darian.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
So then there's Darian. He's like on this like OC type teen show, like Vampire Diaries, or where he's always walking around like with his shirt off and carrying around his co-star because the fans thought it was romantic. So now he's 18 with a bad back.
And he wants to do serious stuff. And he has grown up loving Starfield. Mm-hmm. And this is a dream role for him, like you said. But he's kind of, I don't know, he still has all this teen heartthrob stuff on him. That.
And the fans
he's
are...
He's feeling the pushback.
Yeah, the fans are not happy. Which I think anyone who has seen a reboot, you get a little angry sometimes.
Oh yeah. Do you remember when Heath Ledger was announced as the Joker? Like that was like, are you kidding me?
Heath Ledger. Blah, blah, blah.
He's so funny and sweet and cute. He can't be the Joker. And then he blew everyone away.
Yeah. But I think even like when you have a book, like Hunger Games, like when Jennifer Lawrence was cast, I was like, I like her, but she's not what I imagined. So obviously anyone who has a fandom they love, whenever your stuff is turned into a movie, you have a lot to say. And the fans were really angry that this teen heartthrob was cast in this major geek role.
Yeah.
But it turns out Darian loves the show as well because he's a closet geek. And that's really all I have to say about Darian.
Yeah. You know what? I guess if you think of like the original Cinderella, does anyone like that prince? I mean... He has zero personality. At least Ashley Poston has given him a little bit of background, a little bit of personality. But I don't get why. I mean, geek culture is like pretty big, and it's cool. I mean, they're making this reboot of Starfield. Like, why does he feel like he can't
tell the fans that he's a fan?
Yeah,
I guess it's his image, his brand. Yeah. They talked a lot about maybe it wasn't his image, but they had a word for. Like what his package, like what he is and what he's selling, and this isn't what he's selling.
His brand. Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing though about the two characters is how similar they really are. And they're both really lonely. So in the beginning of the book, Darian finds out that he's going to have to take part in this ExcelsiCon convention. And he used to go with his best friend, Brian, and then Brian sold him out for some TMZ money. And now he never wants to go to a convention again. So Darian decides he's going to figure out a way to get himself out of this convention and finds a number for the guy that used to run the convention, which is Elle's dad. Yeah. And Elle has her dad's number. So he texts this number saying he's trying to get out of the convention. And then he and Elle start talking. And that's how they meet. And
which fits so well into the geek culture kind of thing, like talking online or talking on the phone first before you really see the person and connecting with them.
Yeah.
It's like really sweet.
And I like that. So it wasn't insta-love. It took time to sort of unfold into a love story. But it didn't seem to matter at first, like what the other person looked like or how old they were. They just seemed to like chatting with each other. And part of it might have been because of the loneliness factor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who did Darian have to talk to? Basically, maybe just Gale. His handler. And Elle is, like, all alone.
Yeah.
And although Darian, his dad's in the picture. I mean, his dad.
His dad is his manager.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bad, bad combination, dad and manager. So it gave them a chance to talk and to form a relationship. And it was actually really nice because Darian texts Elle and was like, so what do you think of this Darian guy as the new prince? And Elle's like, oh, maybe he likes this Darian guy, so I don't want to be mean, even though she does a Rebel Gunner blog, and she totally trashes Darian like 10 seconds before. She's like, oh, I think he can do it if he really tries, and that gives Darian what he needs to find his inner Prince Carmendor.
Yeah, just a little hope.
Yeah.
Like, hey, not everyone is rooting against you.
Yeah.
Although she kind of was.
Side characters. We start with Sage, because Sage really was my favorite character in the book.
She was magic.
She was magic.
Yeah.
So Sage has green hair, and her mom owns the magic pumpkin food truck, and Elle and Sage, like, I could tell like, immediately that they would have so much in common, but they'd never talked.
Yeah.
And I think Elle had just been beaten down so many times. Like, she was scared to make a connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Sage seemed to want to talk to her, but then Elle would always kind of shut it down.
Yeah.
Until Elle needed something, and Sage was like, I'll help you. So Sage makes outfits with that Harajuku magazine she's always reading. So she's really into couture and fashion and, you know, designing her own
DIY
stuff. Yeah. And Elle is trying to win this cosplay at this convention, and she finds her dad's old costume, and it's just, there's no way it's going to fit her. She's really petite, and her dad was pretty big and stocky. And Sage is like, I can fix this. And they form a friendship.
Yeah, it's like, finally, Elle, you have a friend. This is great.
Elle gets Sage hooked on the show, and they make this beautiful costume. And it's just, it was a really nice friendship. And even before they were friends, Elle's stepsisters were picking on her one day at the food truck, and like Sage just kind of stepped in and like shut down Chloe. There was a boy that Elle had liked the previous summer, and she thought that boy liked her, but then apparently there was like a YouTube video that happened. I would like to know what that encounter was that got put on YouTube, but they never really said.
Yeah.
But it was, everyone kind of like,
and it was kind of
hoax on her.
Sorry again, it was a while since I read it, but it was kind of like influenced by one of her stepsisters, right?
But Chloe, yeah.
What the?
I know.
What is that about?
Yeah, so there's the two stepsisters, and at first you kind of, they're twins, Chloe and Cal, and you think they're kind of similar.
Cal.
But by like the middle of the book, you realize Cal's a little different than Chloe.
And that was amazing to have someone be a bad guy and kind of you see another side and you're like, she kind of changes, right?
Yeah.
She's like, you know what? We've been total turds. And also, guess what? I have a crush on Sage.
Which was so sweet.
So cute.
It was actually, it was done, everything about this book was so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, the toothache. But I loved it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need like brain candy.
Yeah.
And this was brain candy.
But it was more than, like, it was a little bit more than that, though, because it wasn't just, like you said, it wasn't instant love.
Yeah.
Like, it was, yeah. It was sweet. There was substance.
Yeah. It was just, all the geek references just were amazing. Then there's, like, Darian's side characters. And it's really just the people he works with, because he has, like, no friends.
No life, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on this really strict diet, too, to keep his abs in check.
Magic.
So he lives on protein, and all he wants is an Orange Crush soda. I'm like, oh, someone just give this dude a soda. But Gail is really, like, his main friend, and that's his handler. And she's, like, mid-20s, and she's kind of in charge of keeping him out of trouble, but she's more, like, his confidant and his friend, and she kind of runs interference for Mark. Mark is Darian's dad, who is his
manager.
Yeah. And it's a very bad father-son relationship, and Darian kind of wishes it would go back to the way it was, where Darian had a dad, not a manager. Then there was Lonnie. Do you remember Lonnie, the bodyguard?
I
wanted so much more from Lonnie, because I loved him.
Yeah.
He was described as the rock, half rock, and half Terry Crews, I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes! I'm like, oh my gosh, give me more. And his name's Lonnie.
Yeah.
And he talked a little bit, and he was like pretty empathetic to Darian, and like, he wanted to help Darian out, and it was great. I really wish there were more scenes with Lonnie.
Yeah, you're right. He was really, I mean, Gail was nice because she was actually helpful to him and Lonnie. But then it was Jess, who was playing Princess Samara.
Yes.
Calvin, who was whatever, you know.
The Spock.
And the director. Yeah, the Spock.
Yeah.
And the director. Like, none of those people
were friends.
Were friends. Were, I'm almost even interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, I guess so Jess and Darian had to have, like, they had, like, little fake flirting stuff going on.
Yeah, they were supposed to be, air quotes, in a relationship during the filming of the movie to kind of drive up publicity.
How does that even happen? Like, that was his dad?
His dad's idea, yeah.
That's so crazy.
But like, Jess, like, it's funny because Darian seemed kind of, like, thrown off by it, but just like, yeah, like, we're dating now.
This is what we do.
Yeah. This is how we drive up interest in the film. There's also all of Darian's fans that, like, follow him everywhere, which I kind
of
love.
What's the name of the show he was on? I can't remember.
Oh,
it was, like,
God.
A beach or ocean thing?
They're called, like, SoCal, so something
Seaside Cove.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
Ooh, I can remember that. Yeah, that was great. And actually, I found it really interesting, too. Like, in the beginning, when you first meet Darian, he's giving this interview, and this fan, like, rushes the stage, and she, like, tackles him, and she kisses him, and, like, as a female reader, I'm like, dude, like, that's just not cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, if it was reversed.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, Darian was really upset by it. And his dad's like, well, now we're getting you a bodyguard. Because people shouldn't be, like, attacking you.
That's one thing he was good for.
Yeah. Interesting parts of the book. Characters. Thoughts?
I love Elle. I think she was great. It is hard when it's, like, so much angst. And I know we'll get to the angst level. But a Cinderella level of horrible crap happening to her all the time.
Yeah.
She was still really awesome. Like, she found her solace, like, in watching Starfield and blogging about it. And then finally starting to talk to Sage and to Darian. Yeah.
She got stronger as the book progressed, too. I feel like she was able to find her voice more.
Yeah.
And stand up for herself. And by the end of the book, she does.
Yeah, we had some character growth.
Yeah, there was some major character growth. That being said, I feel like she never really stood up to Chloe. Right?
Yeah.
Darian stood up to Chloe for her. But Elle never did. And I was kind of hoping that, you know, she would put Chloe in her place.
Yeah. But on the other hand, like, Elle is really sweet. I mean, someone who's, like, that evil, it's, I don't know, my thought is, like, you know what, just go and be over there. I'm going to go and be over here. Like, you're not even worth me trying to.
Yeah.
You're just this terrible person.
But she does stand up to her stepmother. You don't really see that confrontation. You just kind of read about it after it happens. But it wasn't even, like, it's not like a big fight. It was more like, okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And she leaves. And that's great.
Yes.
I loved Sage.
Yeah.
I would like to have been friends
the
with
book
Sage.
Should have, yeah. I would take a book, a follow-up with just Sage.
Yes.
Sage Life.
She was... So there was this guy, James, that I mentioned earlier that Elle had really liked. And you know, he kind of played her. And then the twins took, like, this video of, like, this something that happened, so like, secluded. And then sent the link to, like, their entire school. And this is during summer break. Probably shouldn't mention. During summer break. So they're not in school. Which also explains why you're not seeing a whole bunch of people, because it's summer.
Yeah.
This guy James comes up to the Magic Pumpkin to get something. He wants a chimichanga. And Sage gives him, like, a day-old vegan chimichanga. And she's like, wait for it. And, like, you can see him, like, run to the bathroom. She just seems so cool. And, like, she's the kind of person I would have been friends with.
Oh, yeah.
In high school.
Yeah.
And it would have been great.
But realistically, like, someone who's kind of going against the grain, but realistically so.
Yeah.
You know.
And I liked her mom, who owned the Magic Pumpkin. Like, she seemed like a real mom, which is nice.
I can't remember her.
She didn't have a big part. She just came and spoke a few times. She was, like, the one day that Elle was over Sage's house because they were working on the costume, and Elle has a curfew, and she's scared she's going to be late. The mom's like, I'll take care of it. She's like, no, I got it. Like the mom really wanted to.
And she drove her home too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else about characters before I jump on something else?
I would say, like, the and I know this is a work of fiction, but the super fictional characters of, like, Princess Amara and Prince Carmador, like, they were characters too. Like, we learn about them and their love and what is the word? Oh my gosh. Amaya Blina.
Yeah.
Ablina, and, like, the quotes from Starfield. Like, they, even though they were fictional characters within this work of fiction, they were kind of characters too.
I know have I know I want that in my geekdom. Like, I really would like to see that show.
I would watch it. Yeah.
You know what's funny? There's a new like Star Trek spoof on right now, and I can't remember the name of it. The Orville, maybe, and it's with Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, I just kept thinking of that. I don't know why.
Because this was an older show, right? Our two main characters watched this reruns.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a 60s, 70s thing.
Yes.
So in this world, like, they don't mention Star Wars and Star Trek, do they?
They do.
Oh, they do?
They
okay.
do, yeah. I actually have a list of, like, all the things that they mentioned under things I liked.
Again, I'm sorry,
all the
fandoms. It's been long since I
read it. All good.
But this just kind of was another thing that happened at that same point.
Yes. They did it really well. I'd like to see that show.
Yeah.
And even how it ended, I really want to see that final episode now, because they spent so much time talking about, like, the horrible beauty of that final episode.
I'm like,
I want
want to see it for
myself. You know what I kind of imagined is not the book, but the movie Dune, which I've never read the book. I need to. But the movie was directed by... David Lynch, yeah. And it's kind of panned as like this horrible, horrible movie.
Yeah.
But I kind of like it. And we'll put it on like when we're falling asleep sometimes.
Yeah.
But the Emperor's Daughter, I think, introduces the movie. And just the way she looks, for some reason, that's how I pictured Princess Amara.
Oh.
But there was just kind of a more of a mystical element, I felt, than like Star Wars or Star Trek. It was a little bit more spiritual almost. That was like my takeaway from how they describe Starfield.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just like the language, like Oblina and... the images of the stars. What was the, what do they keep saying?
Oh, it's look to the stars, aim, ignite.
Yeah.
Which I totally now want to get that like tattooed somewhere. Because I think it's amazing. Like, I'm like, this is so great. They make shirts, by the way. I was on the website.
Oh,
they have shirts.
Oh, nice.
This is so great.
Yeah, but it was cool. It didn't feel like it was like borrowing too much from any existing thing. It was, yeah, it was its own thing that I kind of want to watch.
And it felt magical. Like there was a magic...
Yeah, that's why I kind of say it. Like kind of this spiritual maybe is too strong, but yeah, like this otherworldliness.
No, it was really cool. Like at first, I was like, Starfield? What is Starfield? Like when I read the description, I'm like, no one's going to know what I'm talking about when I say Starfield. It's a show. But within like the first couple chapters, like I wanted to see every episode. Yeah. And I loved it when Elle goes to introduce it to C. She's like, we're not going to watch in order. We're going to watch episode 3 first. Yes. Do I do 6 or 10? Let me decide. Because it was written for syndication.
Yeah.
Which means that they'll show any episode at any time. And like, I guess I'm just not used to shows doing that anymore. Mm. Or maybe really even in my lifetime of watching shows. Like I can't think of.
I know. Well, it's not sci-fi, but Freaks and Geeks did that. Things were written in a different order. And then they were... aired at a different
Why? I mean, there is that big talk, like, now that all my friends are having kids, like, what order do you show them the Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
How do you do
I know. You have to start with A New Hope.
You start, with 4, yeah.
You have to.
But I had one friend that had this whole plan where it was, like, 4, 5, then 1, 2, 3, and then you'll take it to 6 because you want to end it, like, positively. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. There is, I don't know what it's called, but there's, like, a name to the sequence, and there is, like, a, on the internet somewhere. Google it. but there is like a very like a lauded like this is the order. I mean, I think it's something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. Like fans of geekdom.
Yeah,
you don't mess around.
Which is so cool for Elle to put herself out there when she does show Sage it, because that's like huge. This is her life, and it is a geeky thing.
Yeah,
she doesn't really connect with people, and she's kind of putting herself out on the limb, being like, "Can I show you my favorite show? Are you gonna think I'm like a total..." Weirdo.
So the setting, we have Elle in Charleston.
Yeah.
Darian in Atlanta, which is, it was kind of interesting how close they were because they're only a state away from each other. But then like the setting of like the film, I thought was kind of interesting. Because they're working on like a soundstage. And Darian does, like, his own stunts.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, he has to, like, he's scared of heights, but he has to, like, fall, like, however many, like, stories. And so that was probably the most interesting part of the setting. Oh, other than maybe the con?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been to a convention, and I got to go to one because every time I see a movie with a convention or I see my friends' Facebook photos of conventions, I'm like, I would love this.
I've been to the Beatles convention.
That's amazing.
it's cool. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go and watch people cosplay.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Awesome.
And the ball at the end.
The descriptions, like the writing was so rich. Like I really felt like I could see everything. The visuals were described. I mean, I wanted to see the dresses and the lights.
Yeah, like they were dancing in the stars.
Yeah.
Oh, magic.
Yeah, it really put into my head. Like I could really see everything that was happening. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It was like Beauty and the Beast.
I love the way that the dress was described. The blue, with all the tulle, and it looked like the night sky, and how it moved. I'm like, this is great. Anything else interesting you want to mention?
Yeah, I don't. The setting. I don't think there was anything too crazy. I mean, you mentioned it was summer break. Which is kind of convenient, so it's just school's just not in the picture.
Yeah. I like the dog. Remember Franco? So
the neighbor's dog.
The neighbor. Elle's neighbor has a dog, and Elsa's like, it was like his second wife, and he thought he'd buy a dog and see how that goes before they have kids, and then they got divorced, and now there's this poor neglected wiener dog hanging out in the backyard that Elle takes care of. And
that was her Gus-Gus.
Yeah, it was her Gus-Gus. And I forget the Mr. Ramirez, I think. Like, he wants to get rid of the dog at one point, and Elle's texting Darian before they realize who they are. She's like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, you have to be more like Princess Amara. You take that dog. And she kidnaps the dog. Yeah. And the dog's living in the food truck and having himself a grand old time, and everyone loves the dog. And I thought that was cute that she got her dog. And at the end of the book, she still has the dog.
I really love that. I mean, both Darian and Elle, like, they, like, learned from the characters that they love. Like you just said, he said, be more like Prince. What would Prince Samara do? And Darian definitely tried to channel Prince Carmander. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. That's inspiring. I mean, I think that's, maybe it sounds geeky, but that's, like, real. I mean, I think that's why people really love these movies and these shows, that this is kind of, not even spoofing, but just kind of, it's like a love story, too. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, yeah, you know, they're in these crazy situations and they step up. Like, they're scared or they feel like they don't have the power, or they don't know what to do, and they do it, and it's really inspiring. And it's cool when you can be like, I'm gonna be like my favorite character.
Did you ever see Galaxy Quest?
Yes.
I thought of that, and oh my gosh, what was that? I can't remember the actor's name. He was in the Apple commercials. He was the Apple computer.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, the fan who finally got to.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Justin Long.
Justin Long, yeah. And he's like that really geeky fan. And like,
oh no, it's not him though. Isn't it Sam Rockwell?
Well, he's in it too, but Justin Long is the kid, and he's got Tim Allen's like communicator, and Tim Allen's like, it's all real, it's all real. He's like, I knew it. And he's like, we need help, and he's got like all of his like little like nerdy friends, and they're all trying to go through the schematics at the end of the movie.
That's right.
Okay. Galaxy Quest is an amazing movie if you get a chance.
Netflix too. Oh yeah,
I think we have the system. Yeah,
look at the library.
Or Netflix if you have it. I actually own it. That's how much I love Galaxy Quest. Fandoms are amazing. Which is things that, you know, I loved about the book. I loved the fandoms, and I tried to keep track of all of them, but there were so many. And there's definitely Star Trek references and Star Wars references, and there's Doctor Who references, and there was a thing about timey-wimey. I'm like, and I think there was a reference to Weeping Angels at one point, which is Doctor Who. Definitely some Hobbit references, and Battlestar Galactica. And I love me some Battlestar Galactica. They threw out a frack.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. Like, was it the old Battlestar Galactica, or was it the new Battlestar Galactica of Katie Sackhoff? Because that's the one I like. I love Starbuck. It was a great show. If you want to, like, commit a month of your life to a show.
It's weird. I never got sucked into something totally completely, but I've, like, dabbled in a lot. But I would say I think X-Files might be, like, my biggest.
I love me some X-Files, too.
Although I've kind of, at some point I stopped. Like, I couldn't keep going.
Yeah. If you ever went up to a bar, then we have all the episodes on Blu-ray at home.
Nice.
Yeah, we're a little obsessed. Well, also, I mean, like, Star Trek. Like, I have seen... I've never watched the original Star Trek TV
you
show.
I should.
I've tried. I'm like, this is too hokey. But I've seen, like, pretty much all of the Next Generation. We just finished watching...
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I make it so. We just finished watching Voyager? With Captain Janeway, which I didn't think I would like, but I loved, and I love Seven of Nine. We're currently watching all of Deep Space Nine. Like, cool. we are a little bit Star Trek obsessed. I've already seen all the ones with Scott Bakula.
I didn't even know he was in Star
Trek.
That was
like early 2000s, I think. I forget which one that was.
You know what? Like, having something like Star Trek, where there have been so many, it has had so many lives, and now the movies are being. Right.
There's the movies, and there's actually a brand new show right now.
Oh, right. It's on a
CBS.
Streaming.
Yes. Okay. And it's Lucius Malfoy is
the
captain. I love him. Because he's also in
he's the
OA.
Yay. Oh, I'm so glad he gets to play a good person.
Well, he's kind of, you know, he's good, but he's a little flawed. Which, but the quality level, like production level, it's like so much higher. It's like, what is this?
But to have such a huge universe, it's so comforting. Like, you know, when you do have, when you're annoyed with school or your job or your family and your friends, and you just put the DVD player on, press play, and it's this whole world. And then, like, a new movie comes out or a new show. You can totally understand why Elle and Darian and so many other people
are obsessed.
Yeah.
I get it. I remember when Farscape was canceled. I'm like, what is this nonsense? I love Farscape. Anything else you want to add about love, things you liked? You don't have to. It's all good.
I love that the food truck was vegan. It made me hungry.
I love that Sage brought ice cream into the vegan food truck for them to eat. It's like, what? It's like, it's ice cream. I did like all of the Cinderella like references. Like she leaves the ball to Pumpkin because she leaves in the magic pumpkin.
Yeah.
She's wearing her mom's dress.
Yeah.
Sage really was her fairy godmother. It was great.
And everything was sprinkled in. Like, nothing felt like slapping you in the face.
No.
The Cinderella stuff, the geekdom stuff, even like the love story. It just all fit.
It was very like organic how it came together. But now, things we didn't like. And I do have a couple of things that I didn't like about the book.
We'll go right ahead.
Thank you. Because I am familiar with the Cinderella story, there was a level of predictability.
Yes.
Like, I was waiting for like some kind of alpha to get trashed. Because of the cartoon, I was waiting for a prince to go chasing after.
Although she did not, did she lose a shoe?
She lost a shoe.
Oh come on,
she did lose a shoe. So like there were certain things like I just was kind of waiting to happen because I know the.
But isn't that an interesting kind of parallel to what fandoms are? You know, like people love Star Trek because they know what's going to happen. Like
True.
They know they're going to, oh, crap, we're abandoned on this planet and there's like no way we can get out of it.
Yeah.
But we will.
We will.
It's kind of like a, I don't know, something kind of a comfort thing.
Yeah, I like that. I'll go with that. There was also maybe the level of how over the top it was sometimes, especially with Catherine, the stepmother. Like, she was awful.
She was awful. And the sisters were so, I mean, you know, we said Cal kind of redeemed herself, but, like, they were so horrible. I mean, it was, like, child abuse. It was emotional abuse.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
In my head, like, how does anyone get away with this?
And I feel like at some point they tried to make Catherine, like, they tried to explain a little bit of why. Right? Because she reminded her father, which is, like, all right, well, like, that's no excuse. You're just this horrible. You're a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah.
Too horrible.
Yeah. I definitely cried a little bit. Did you cry at all?
I think so.
I definitely
was. She was horrible. Yeah. I mean, I'm a mom now, too, and it's just, when you...
It's heartbreaking.
It's, like, no, you can't.
It's heartbreaking. No, no, no. Anything you didn't like other than that?
I think Darian could have just been a little bit more interesting, I think.
A little stronger, maybe.
Yeah.
The character.
Yeah.
But he's 18.
And the only thing that didn't fit for me was his friend Brian, like... just the way that it kind of, when it came to a head at the end. I don't know. It was just weird. It was just weird.
Yeah.
Because he had been, so Brian stole his phone, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Brian stole Darian's phone, yeah.
I don't remember.
So Brian stole the phone and texted Al and said, hey, I can't see you anymore.
Like, oh, right.
And then Darian didn't do anything about it because he's like, well, it's probably for the best now because I definitely have feelings for her and like she doesn't know who I am. And
yeah.
This won't work.
But he was on the roof of the, right? Didn't he was like stalking him?
It was weird.
In the hotels, like, all right. I don't know. It just seemed weird.
Maybe it didn't fit. Yeah, maybe they just needed a bad guy.
Yeah.
Tropes. I have the whole like evil stepmother, evil adult.
Yeah.
Trope.
You can't trust.
Yeah, don't trust
the adults.
Because there's really no good adults in the book. Even like Gail. I mean, Gail's a young adult. Gail's only like 24 or 25.
Yeah.
There's really no great adult figures.
Yeah. Maybe, like you said, maybe just Sage's mom.
Yeah.
But she was not really in the book for very long.
But it does make it easier when there's no adults in a book checking out for you. Like, because it gives you more freedom
because
no one cares what you're doing.
Yeah.
So there's that.
The quirky best friend, I mean, kind of, sort of. I think Sage was more fleshed out than other quirky best friends can be.
Mm-hmm.
But could fit that in there.
Yeah, and I mean, and Sage saved the day. So obviously Sage could do anything.
Yeah.
But that's fine. First, I was going to write, a happily ever after as a trope. But then I felt like while this book did have a happily ever after, like it wasn't the stereotypical happily ever after. Because, I mean, they are
18
years old. And he is like a movie star, and Sage is now going off to college. And actually, she wants to write. She wants to do screenplays. So, I mean, in theory, they'll end up, like, in the same circle.
Yeah.
But it was realistic. Like, it wasn't like, hey, Rory, let's go get married.
And, yes, right. Yeah. Nothing else matters but you. No, actually, I really like to write, and I want to
do that. Yeah, yeah. So I was happy with how that ended. Any other trope that you'd like to mention?
I think it's hard when it's kind of following the Cinderella format.
Yeah.
And I mean, kind of the whole thing is
it's a trope in a way. Yeah. It's a fairy tale trope, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The evil people will get it in the end, and you'll have your happily ever after, and it'll all be okay.
You'll drive away in a vegan food truck. Magic pumpkin.
Relatableness of the characters. You know, do we empathize with them? And I said yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a geek and a nerd. Like, yeah. Everything about it, I relate it to.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's so much fun to talk with someone who you don't really know, whether it's online or, you know, texting. Like, I love that. That's really fun.
And anything that you... Like, you know, you always have your friends, but then, like, I have a group that I run with. And when I run with my running people, like, all we do is talk about running. And it's like, running, 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 running. What do you eat? What do you drink? What did you wear on this really cold day? Like, it's nice to have somebody that you have, like, a common interest with.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just talk for an hour, like, nonstop about that thing that you love.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to talk about Starfields starting now and never stop.
Exactly. Yeah. So I definitely could really... I relate to that.
It was hard for me just how horrible everything was for Elle at her home, and I just wanted it to end. I wanted her to just leave. I wanted her to talk to anybody to get out of there. But, you know, it kind of had to be. It's a Cinderella story.
Yeah, and it did work out because it is a Cinderella story. Angst. I forgot to print out my sheet, but I know what I want, and I want... Okay. So I have it as I had angst as like an 8, which is Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And when Alexis and I described that level of angst, it was just, we had like everything's in caps because in Order of the Phoenix everything was in caps, and it wasn't so much that there were literal caps in the story, but I felt like everything was so large,
absolutely,
and exaggerated.
And the way that the chapters ended, I felt like it always ended on like a oh no.
What will happen next? Yeah. Like a TV show, like a Star Trek episode. Yes. Like
commercial break.
Will they make it? I don't know. But that being said, like, I really have no tolerance for angst. And this angst did not bother me.
Mm.
But it was definitely a higher level, but I think it was done well.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, it was also believable.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think having the positive... The convention, like, that she was looking forward to and working towards, and she does get a friend along the way when Sage, like, it kind of balanced it a little bit. Because I guess what, in the original Cinderella, it's just a dance. It's like, oh, yay, I would like to go to a dance. Where this is like, hey, this is my life. It's this new show coming out. I love the convention. I'm going to work on the dress. I have a new friend.
I'm making money to get me there. I have a whole plan. This is how it's all going to happen.
Yeah, and this is something that was, like, really important to my parents, and I'm feeling, like, you know, maybe a little...
Like, maybe they're with me now. Yeah.
A little happier along the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think 8 is a good number for angst.
Order of the Phoenix, yeah. What did you rate the book?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know I should. Would you do 1 to 5?
I do A through F.
A through F.
Yeah, like school. I gave it an A.
An A. Yay.
Emily, you did an excellent choice in a book.
Yay, I'm glad. I really enjoyed it. I think I also read it within a day or two.
Yeah.
Because it was just fun. I just wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
I would say maybe A-.
Okay.
A-, because it has been a couple months and not everything has stuck with me.
Yeah.
But I do have it overall, like, that was really fun. And I want to read anything else that Ashley Poston publishes.
It was a lovely, lovely book. And it's been a while since I've enjoyed a book that much, obviously, since I had not read in a month. So this was good to get me back into reading.
Welcome to the world of reading again.
If you like this book, maybe you want to try something else similar. So I have This Is What Happy Looks Like by Jennifer E. Smith. I read that a couple years ago, and it's about a teenage girl who has like this online relationship with a teenage boy, and it turns out he's an actor, and she has no idea. And then he comes to her town to do a film.
Awesome.
And they try to start a relationship now that she knows who he really is. And And they only have so many days together before he has to go back off. And it was sweet. And it ended positively. And then I feel like she wrote another book after, which I never read. Mm. But it's the same idea. Like, how do you have a relationship with an actor when you are normal?
Yeah. Nice. I'd say maybe also Fangirl by, oh my gosh, not Eleanor. Rainbow. Rainbow Rowell. It's a little bit different because it's more of a Harry Potter thing that exists in that book, but the main character writes fan fiction and is like pretty, and kind of relates to other people and kind of goes through life by taking this fan fiction with her in that universe.
Yeah. I like it. Kind of, sort of. That was a great book.
Yeah, that's great.
Kanye West Dance Party. That's like the best part of the book. I'd also say, I mention this book all the time, but Cinder by Marissa Meyer. Like, if you like that fairy tale genre, you like retelling of fairy tales, Cinder is a good time. And if you like having a fandom, there is a crazy fandom around that series of books.
Are there movies out or coming out?
I don't know. I'd love for them to make movies, but then, I don't know, the books were so good. They were so good. Crest was my favorite. That was Rapunzel.
Trilogy or four books?
Four books. Okay. And a novella. It was pretty dark.
The Lunar Chronicles, is that?
Yeah, the Lunar Chronicles, She's got something else coming out, I think, in November that I'm excited about. And then she just did something, I can't remember the name of it, but it's The Red Queen from Alice in Wonderland and how she becomes evil.
Ooh. Yeah.
Daniela, who works at this brand, she said she liked it. I have to be in the mood. Like, when you know something's going to end poorly, I think you have to be in the mood to read that. And I just had not been in the mood for a sad story, so.
I guess we could also say The Descendants, then, by, is that Marissa?
Marissa.
What's her name?
De La Cruz. Yeah.
Okay. Because that is the origin story, or not the origin story.
It's the kids.
It's the kids of villains.
Yeah, of Disney characters.
Which, obviously, if you're listening to this, you know about the TV show and movies and all that, right?
People are obsessed. I get people all the time in my branch. Have you Descendants books? At the other branches.
I know Isle of the Lost, so that was the follow-up up to
Descendants. There's two right now, and there's two movies.
The movies. Sorry, no TV show, just movies.
Correct. Okay. Made for TV movies.
Okay.
On Disney.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Mal. There were a lot of Mals last year out for Halloween, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. Next month, I am going to be podcasting with one of the teachers from the Merchantville School. So interesting thing about my little library, it's in Merchantville, and my library is attached to a school that's K through 8th grade. And there's a teacher there who has quite the young adult collection in her classroom. So everyone's always like, oh, you should go talk to Yulia. And I was like, hey, we don't really know each other, but you should come podcast with me. Wonderful. And she said, okay.
Yay.
So we're doing that. And we're going to be discussing Royal Bastards by Andrew Schwartz. And I just really like the name.
The author's name? No, Schwartz.
Well, that too. But I like the book name.
So, oh, yeah.
So it's all the bastards of royalty.
The
and they kind of.
Royal bastards.
It sounds like a good time, which I was kind of surprised they would do that for a young adult novel. But I'm like, well.
Is it spelled the same? It's not like Inglourious Bastards.
No, it's spelled, it's spelled like you would expect. And it's all the bastards of royalty, and they band together to save the day. So
that's awesome.
It was one of those books that was like, most excited for 2017, which can go either way.
Yeah,
Goodreads, some people loved it.
Overhyped.
Yeah, Goodreads, man, you know those people. I love them, but there's some very happy Goodreads readers right now.
Yeah,
I love Goodreads.
Those are the only comments that I love to read, especially when someone does like a negative review of like an amazing book, and you just read, like, you just go down, and you're like, oh,
and there's gifts.
Wow.
There's always a bajillion gifts to express their anger at the book.
Like, I won't read YouTube comments. I won't read, like, on a news website, but I love Goodreads back and forth because, for the most part, people stay pretty PG rated, I would say.
Yeah. But they really do.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of passion.
Yeah.
Goodreads, that's like its own, like, culture right there. It's something else. All right. So I think that about does it for us.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for coming, Emily. Yay. Feel free to check us out online, www.camdencountylibrary.org/YAAH_podcast. It's actually been like a month and a half since I've been on the site. I'm pretty sure I am right. We also have a Facebook page if you search Young Adult at Heart. If you're ever looking for anything to read, if you happen to come by Voorhees, go visit Emily in the children's department.
Yes, please. And send a suggestion. Like, send, if you're on the Facebook page, you can send a message in if you're like, you should totally read this book next.
Yes, I would love that. Yeah. I'm always looking for book suggestions. And then we also have a new catalog. So if you're on catalog.camdencountylibrary.org and say you type in Geekerella, if you scroll down to the bottom, it gives you a bunch of read-alikes now.
Yes.
Which is, I think...
We should have looked at that.
So novelist or next reads. I think it's a novelist.
Novelist.
Yeah. And it's really nice. So if you're looking for suggestions and you can't come in, you can check that out instead. Yeah. So I think that is about it for us today. Again, thank you.
Thank you. That was fun.
And this is Kristen signing off.